Scripture lesson today is Isaiah 40. All of it. Isaiah 40. And while you're looking for that, and I'm going to give you a couple minutes. 40 is between 39 and 41. Get your Bibles out. I have a question for you, Linda Strait. When did you send over the music to Diane?
Thursday.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Isaiah 40, all 33 verses. And the reason all 33 is because I tried to parcel it out to mean what I wanted it to mean, and it wouldn't work. And the more I read it, the more I was like, sometimes you have to read all of it. Sometimes extrapolating away from God's Word takes away the power of it. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart and gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or the breadth of his hand marked off the heaven? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountain on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor is its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As an idol for craftsmen who casts it? And a goldsmith overlays it with gold or fastens it with silver chains for it? A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And all its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his power and mighty strength? Not one of them is missing. What do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall, but for those who hope in the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will not run, not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts to hear these words. Let us accept them as bread for us to feed on and grow. Let us not turn toward worldly pleasures until we have heard these words given to you, Father, given to me, Father, by you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. So there I sat. At the beach. On the beach. On the sand. Oh boy. Not a tractor in sight. Well, that's not exactly true. I tried to get him to let me come out in the morning and help him comb the beach, and he said no. But I went to the beach fully ready to experience with my family and be a beach guy. I even bought new tennis shoes to go to the beach. See, look, tennis shoes. I bought new tennis shoes. Look at them. Look at my tennis shoes. My wife said they're work boots. No, they're not, because they don't have steel toes. So they're tennis shoes. They're soft. Yeah, I bought new shoes, and there I sat on the beach, and I tried to relax. I tried to relax. I don't relax well, unless I've had a belly full of something. Then I can relax real easily. But I sat there and I tried to relax. And so we drove on Saturday and we got to the beach and we rode a boat over there. And we got to the beach and we unloaded. And then we did a bunch of things to get ready to be at the beach, which is what I had thought we had done 2 weeks before that. But no, we had to go shopping. We had to get food so I could cook all week long. And we finally decided we would go to the beach on Monday. We got to the beach on Saturday. We could see it out the hotel. Oh, look, there's the beach. There's the water. But we had to do other things. On Sunday, we had to go ride rides because we went after Labor Day and everything's closing down. And oh, heavens to be, if we didn't have one roller coaster ride, the beach effect would not be complete. And so we rode roller coasters and log plumes and we went up and down the boardwalk and we had fun, so I'm told. On Monday, we went out to the beach, and after we set up camp, canopy, and everything, and we spent 6 hours building Fort Leatherman, whatever you want to call it, or Camp Leatherman, we finally went to the water, we spent 10 minutes in the water, and then it was time to go back to the hotel. No, we stayed out on the beach longer than that. And so I decided, I want to go out, I want to get in the water, because I'm not afraid, I know how to swim. And I got out of my slippers that I had to wear down to the beach because my wife said, if you wear them brand new shoes out to the beach, I am going to... And she is a violent woman. You all don't know it. I live in pain. And so I get up and I start walking. Now, the beach is about a gajillion miles wide and the water is all the way out there. And so to stay away from the water as the tide came in, we built the tent and everything at the hotel. Because that's how far we had to walk to get to the water. And so as we walk down the beach, I'm walking down the beach, and the water's coming around my toes and then around my ankles. I'm thinking, most any time I'm going to be about waist deep. I had to walk from here to England to get to the deep water. The beach board, the shelf goes like this. And I kept thinking, at any time. And on the first day, the ocean let me know how much it hated me. Because just about the time I got to my waist, I turned around to wave at the camp. Hi! Hello. And they were this big. And I'm waving at them, and all my family's waving back at me. And I'm standing there, and I'm like, and I'm pointing, and they're pointing, and I finally said, what? And when I turned around, the water was this high, and I heard the Hawaiian Five-O theme start up, and I said, I'm glad I'm wearing clean underwear, because I'm about to have an accident. Whoop! And there I was on the beach. And I stood up and another wave hit me. And I got up again and I said, this stuff ain't funny. So I said, I'm going to go out deeper where I'm floating and it can do whatever it wants. And I floated around in the water and I splashed. And here come my sons all jovial. Hey, wave really knocked you down, Dad. And they got their boards and their surfing or whatever you call it. And one of them says, hey, Dad, you used to do this. Do you want to try it? And I said, sure, I'll give it a try. And I got on the board and I paddled out there because I did know how to surf at one time of day, boogie board and everything. And I got on it and the wave came up. And I said, oh, look at this big wave. And I'm not kidding you, that wave went, pff! It went right past me. I said, okay, I'll get another wave. And I waited and here comes this big swell of water. And I'm like, kick, 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 kick. I'm going to ride this one. And the wave went, ooh. And all I was doing, seriously, I looked like a whale floating on a piece of plywood out there. So I took the board off and I handed it back. And promptly the ocean developed a swell and knocked me over again. So I went back and I sat down and I looked out and I said, I had fun at the beach. Then we did some other stuff. And on Wednesday we decided we'd go back again. And this time the water was rougher. And I couldn't get out past my waist. And it kept hitting me with these big waves. My wife walks out into the ocean, and she gets waves that are this high. And they go tinkle, tinkle, tinkle across her knees. And she'll stand there, and here comes a wave. And I'm like, what the? What? Down I go again. And after all this, I decided that the ocean hated me, and it didn't want me. And I went out of the water, and I went back up to camp, and I was mad. And I sat down in my seat, and I grabbed something to eat, and I pulled out my binoculars, and I thought, I hate the stupid ocean. Who in the world thought coming here was a good idea? And so I trained my binoculars out across the edge of the ocean, and suddenly I saw something that made me settle down. You know, there is a group of idiots in this world, and I'm going to say that. I know I'm probably not supposed to, because that's not the brethren thing. But they believe to this day that the earth is still flat. Oh, yeah, they're called flat earthers. And they believe that the moon and the earth are part of a bowl. Well, bowls aren't flat, they're round. But that the earth is flat. And I'm sitting there looking out, and you can see the earth begin to curve. And I began to watch, this big boat was out there, and as it turned and sailed, it sailed until it sunk out of view. Because the earth is curved. See, if the earth was flat, I'd have been able to see that boat until I physically couldn't see anymore. And that's when it hit me. How infinite it is, the ocean. Well, no, the ocean's not infinite, Paul. Yes, it is. You see, I know it goes from where we were over to England. I got all that. And touches other coasts. But it doesn't stop. The water's there. And then it started to settle down into my brain what was going on. Being taught a lesson. Infinite is defined as limitless or endless in space, extent, or size, impossible to measure or calculate. That's what infinite means. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Revelations 1:8 says, and Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I feel at times, at least I do, I feel at times that we forget how real God is. I'm not talking about this spiritual figure. I'm talking about real. Scottish theologian John Bale taught at Edinburgh University. He made it a practice to open his course on the doctrine of God with these words. Listen to him. We must remember, in discussing God, that we cannot talk about Him without His hearing every word we say. We may be able to talk about others behind their backs, but God is everywhere, yes, even in this classroom. Therefore, in all our discussions, we must be aware of His infinite presence. We'll talk about Him, as it were, before His face. I do sometimes, and I believe you guys share it with me, sometimes we forget how real God is. We don't think about it. You know, we understand that Jesus is real, right? Everybody's got that part, amen? Jesus was real? Amen? Because I'm wondering either you're asleep or you don't believe it. Which is it? Somebody says to you, is Jesus real? I'm a Christian. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'll say amen. But we don't often think about God that way. We see God in that paradox, right? That old man in the sky kind of looks like the Grizzly Adams, you know? Or a really cool old biker, right? Long white hair, long flowing white beard. He's got that chiseled, cut face. And he always looks like this when they show pictures of him. Right? That's the image that we get. We don't know what he looks like. I could tell you these truths. I don't know what he looks like. That's what I know. I don't know what he smells like. I don't know what he sounds like. Isaiah is writing a very long prophecy out. 33 verses because of Israel's release from captivity. You see, Israel had been trapped. And they were trapped because they were ornery. They got themselves in trouble. They were made to go stand in the corner. Right? Anybody ever have to stand in the corner when you was a kid? Put your hands up. A lot? Every day? Did you ever stand in the corner when you was a kid and think you were a real smart aleck and go, I ain't a matter. I don't mind standing in the corner. At least you didn't spank me. But that never worked out for me. Because then I got that and I got to stand in the corner. But when you got to come out the corner, you were happy, right? Because suddenly you weren't staring at this anymore. Thinking about biting a hole right in it so that your dad sees that. Israel got released from captivity. And Isaiah is talking to them. He is conditioning them. He is explaining to them what they just came out of. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. And then he goes on to start talking to them. Do you understand who God is? One of the most telling parts in that scripture is when they start asking, who taught God? Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed Him as a counselor? Verse 13, verse 14. Who did the Lord consult to enlighten Him and who taught Him the right way? Who was it that taught Him to acknowledge or showed Him the path of understanding? No one. God is infinite beyond what we can begin to understand. They tell me that there is parts of the Atlantic Ocean we don't know about. 95.5% of the ocean is unexplored.
Yes. Last time I checked.
That's what happens when you have a son that's smarter than you are. We'll discuss your outbursts in church later on. 95.5%. I actually had read that, but thank you. We don't know. The infinite that we don't know of our loss of knowledge or lack of knowledge is great. It's infinite beyond what we can measure, what we can understand. I heard somewhere that somebody decided to try to figure out how many gallons of water there was in the Atlantic Ocean. That's the stupidest thing. Why would you waste your time on that? I can tell you how many gallons it is. You ready? A lot. But he is speaking to Israel because Israel put gods before him. Israel had a problem with understanding the truth of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Isaiah's prophecy in 40 is speaking about the arm to rule. The arm to rule is Jesus Christ. He speaks of John making the way ready. He speaks of things that are to come that are yet to further the understanding of an infinite God. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. Verse 21, do you know? Have you heard? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? God is infinite beyond what we can begin to even hope to understand. And that's a good thing. When I sat looking out at that water, I got the feeling of what he was trying to tell me. You know the old saying, life tosses you about like waves on the ocean. Yeah. Every time I tried to get out there, all my family, they all got the nice, gentle stuff. You know? They walked out there, woo, 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 and then here's Dad. Hey, whop. I said, whop. Hey, whop. Hey, whop. Man. And it started to remind me that for as bad as I was getting beat up, I walked out and saw what he was trying to say. You will never be alone, no matter how much pain and suffering you think you endure. No matter how much effort it takes to live this life, I am beyond all that. And for you, I stand. That's a powerful message when you think about a God who can do everything in the world that he can do stands for you. For you. Do you get that? Do you understand who God is? God is for you. This whole thing that I watch and I look about how God is love and God's never going to punish anybody and God's never... Did you read the Old Testament? He opened up the ground because they were worshiping a golden calf and swallowed a bunch of them. God is love. He loves us enough to let us live. He loves us enough to let us be in pain. He loves us enough to let us know that no matter what we get buffeted by, he is greater than that. Because just outside of where those waves were, as I was looking through my binoculars, it was nice and pretty and calm. The big boats that sat out there weren't going like this. They were just sitting there. And the dolphins. Oh my golly. Let me tell you something about when dolphins appear in the water at the beach. You think the King of England or Queen of England just landed. All you see is this much of that dumb fish, right, sticking itself out of water. And everybody's like, oh, look, dolphins. And I had the binoculars around my neck so I wouldn't drop them. And my wife goes, let me see. And she yanks it. Are you crazy? And we sit out there looking at them. And do you know where the dolphins were swimming? Out where the water was smooth. Here's all the swell. Out here's the dolphins. And it made me think that a God that is that infinite, beyond what we can see, has prepared and loved and takes care of us in all things. In our moments when we're released from captivity, like he says to the Israelites, rejoice in it. Isaiah's telling them, have comfort. You're complaining right now. If you get to the bottom part of it, Israel was complaining because they had come out of captivity and they have to rebuild everything. And he's saying, why did you complain? Why? Why? When I am here and I will provide. I've come to this conclusion. A grandmother took her little child out, middle of winter, and the little child had had a particularly rough week at school, so she decided to take her little grandchild out for a walk. And it had snowed the night before, and has anybody ever just gone out the next day after it snowed, before there's all these footprints in the yard, and it's just that sound, right? That quiet still, and there's the snow, and everything's just so perfect for a moment. And then, of course, suddenly the screen door slams open and two children are like, snowballs! And they come out and they ruin everything. She had taken her little grandchild out for a walk and they were looking at the glistening in the tree and the way the sunlight was getting off of it. And the grandmother turned to her grandchild and said, can you see the work of God as an artist? And the grandchild said, I can, Grandma. And it's amazing. He does all this with his left hand. What do you mean with his left hand? She said, well, teacher said Jesus sits on the right. I have come to a conclusion after studying this scripture and listening to what that stupid ocean had to say to me. I know exactly what God looks like. Would you like me to show you? Well, of course you would. Mita, would you please come up here? That would be you, Mita. You're the only one in this church with that name. Walk up here for a moment. Join me. I'm about to show you what God looks like. Are you ready? Give us one of those smiles. Not that one. Just smile. See that smile? That's what God looks like. That is what joy is right there. Every time you smile, that is infinite beyond. That is the picture of the face of God. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I think I love you.
I know what God smells like. I see it every Sunday. For the brief period of time that these are here, you all take these things off of here like they're made of gold. And I've actually thought that there was going to be some fights broke out. But the smell of God, I'm not going to touch anything because I fear that if I lift up something, I'll drop it. But that's what God smells like. And I know what God sounds like. I'll demonstrate. Very simply. Why is everybody looking? Everybody should be scared. You ready to hear the sound of God? That's the sound of God. And it's infinite beyond what we can begin to imagine when we look at the sound, the smell, and the look of God. When we think of something as dumb as an ocean, to me, when I look at that, I suddenly begin to really realize that that infinite body of water that God created, that I can't see the other end of, it's infinite beyond what I can see, is but a measure, but a moment of the love of God. The pain, the struggle, the beating, we are able to endure. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, great is our Lord and abundant in strength, and His understanding is infinite. And for a brief moment, all the synapses in my brain lined up and fired at once, and I understood what they said in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and ever. And if you don't think I wasn't supposed to talk about it. Anybody pay attention to the song this morning? Grace greater than our sin. Apparently you didn't. Let me read you some of the key verses. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's moment outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Now listen, if you sing the bottom side like the old men did in church, you all are singing God's grace. I'm back there singing marvelous grace, infinite grace. Last line, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Freely bestowed on all who believe, you that are longing to see His face, will you this moment grace receive? Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that'll pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. I asked Linda at the start of this sermon, when we sang this morning, when did she give the music to Diane? She gave it to her on Thursday. Diane received my sermon title on Friday morning. Say amen. Amen. We are to think of our infinite God as beyond anything that we can grasp, and yet everything that we can hold on to. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. And the final words, I even put a marker on it. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he that keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last and the beginning and the end. I am infinite. I am infinite beyond. Brothers and sisters, in those moments when we think our troubles are greater than anything, God's love, perseverance, preservation, grace, and mercy, like that ocean that I watched, is infinite beyond anything that we can begin to fall away from. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the mercies that you have given. We thank you for the grace that you have given. We thank you that there is an infinite to you, a love to you that cannot be matched no matter how hard we try. We can't outgive you. We can't outdo you. We can't outlove you. And to sum up infinite beyond what we can understand, it happened that you so loved the world that you sent us your only begotten Son. We thank you, Father. We ask that you remind us of how real you are, how big you are, and how much around us you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.